and to somebody else, and then to somebody else, and then to somebody else. And God is already here. I believe if you look at your rash, it's going to either be gone or gone away, or we'll get that testimony. We'll just see God do so many great things. And see, that's the thing. When we pray or when you pray, and I'll give you opportunities, you know, we'll see how that works. Because what I'm going to teach you tonight, I'm going to kind of condense it a little bit. But have you ever, I know this has been me and probably PK as well. So Kim and I have, you know, anybody in here perfect? I mean, just not. And the more that, you know, we might as well just come right out front and say, you know, we've all messed up. You know, and sometimes it feels like, man, I got all the faith in the world. I could do anything, you know. And then other times it's like, I just feel like I just want to crawl under a rock and, you know, I couldn't play handball on the curb kind of thing. So sometimes we battle with what we think, and this is really what we think God wants to do. We get our, God, I, you know, this is what I think. This is my take on it. And you are certainly allowed to have an opinion and a take, but ultimately it is the Word. That is where the plumb line is drawn. So no matter what you think, if it goes different from this, you're not thinking right. And we get deceived by the enemy. So sometimes we're in a battle almost to receive, because now if I've, you know, not that we've learned that it's already done. He's already provided for it. What we have to do is then get whatever that is from that realm to this realm. So it manifests in the realm that we're walking in, the natural, the five sense realm. So he's already done it 2,000 years ago. He's not going back to the cross. Anything you need for healing's already been provided for in whatever area. So we have to receive it to get it to us. Amen? Sometimes that's a battle. Isn't it easy to give advice when you feel good and somebody else is feeling bad and they're in the middle and you want to say, it's just all you have to do is... But when it's you in the battle and somebody says that, you just want to go, hey, don't be telling me that. So I want to talk just for a few minutes, if you would give me some attention, and we'll pray for some people and we'll see God do some more things that he's already done. We're just going to let them happen, okay? Your faith is linked to your confidence, isn't it? If you have faith in that, you have confidence in that. This is the confidence. The Bible talks about that. This is my confidence. If he hears me and I ask anything according, this is 1 John 14:15, by the way. Ask anything according to his will, he hears me, and I know he hears me, I have the things I ask. This is my confidence. In other words, this is my faith. I know if he hears me. Jesus went to Lazarus' tomb and said, Father, you hear me. You always hear me. I love that. But I'm going to give you four quick things, and they're going to be quick. When you're in a fight against something that seems like is never ending, it just seems like I've battled this, whether it's sickness, something else. We already know he's already done it, and you have what you need to win. We just don't know how to apply it, how to receive it, how to get it here to there. Ephesians 6:10 and 18, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, in the power of whose might? His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, girded your waist with truth, put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Take the helmet of salvation, sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. That's a lot in there. And we read that, and we've almost read it, and we're like, okay. But basically, this is telling you God has already equipped you to fight. And he even knows your size. Remember David? Saul's like, put on my armor. And he's like, this doesn't fit. So he goes out with his slingshot and a staff. You know, he goes out and he kills Goliath. I'm trying to tell you, God has the right size for you in this. You can fight. You can fight. John 10:10 says, the thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I've come that they may have life and they may have it more abundantly. So if I've got what I need to fight, man, I got to figure out how to use it. You see, that's the issue. We live in a society where everything is just given to us. We have a remote. When I grew up, I was the remote. I had to turn the channel. Son, go turn that channel. And then, of course, you know the channel broke. We had pliers. That kind of stuff. But still, remember we have been talking about authority. The devil doesn't leave voluntarily. You have to know what you have that you can make him leave. If you have the authority, you can make him leave. You can win this fight. You know, I'll say this. If in the natural you get a headache, is the first thing you reach for an ibuprofen or a Tylenol? Most of us might say, or half of us could say, oh yeah. I could say I used to do that. I don't do that now. And now here's why. I'm not against that. If the Lord, if he told me, you know, I felt like the Spirit said, go ahead and take an ibuprofen, I would. You know, if you're having one of those days where you're just like, feel like you're running on six cylinders and not eight, and you're just, I don't know. I mean, if he tells you to take an ibuprofen or a Tylenol, take one. I mean, I'm not against doctors. I'm not against medicine. But what I do first is I speak to what's ever going on. So if I've got a headache, I talk to my headache. You could see, you'd be like, Brett talks to himself. Yep. I talk out loud, too. Usually nobody's around. Maybe, well, Kim might hear me, but, you know, but I'll tell my head, you line up with the Word of God. Pain, I command you to leave in Jesus' name. And I began to tell it with Scripture, with the Word. Now, going back to what we just read, that's my weapon. The Word of God, that's my sword. So I lined it up with the Word. By his stripes, I'm healed. 1 Peter 2:24, it says I was healed. It's past tense. You can't stay on my body. So I'll speak to that, and I'll tell the pain to go, and then I'm going to just act like it's done. I'm not going to fake. I'm just going to be like, it's done. And I'm going to do whatever I need to do. And I might have to push through something. It might still be hurting when I'm doing that. Does that make any sense? Because part of it is like, well, that's stupid. No, it's not, because once I make up my mind and that's done, it leaves. Oh, come on. I'm talking to fully persuaded people. People that were, God, if you said that, I am fully persuaded. That's exactly what you mean. So I speak, I get healed, period. I put my hand to it. He says he blesses the work of my hands. But you need to understand the spiritual realm. You're connected. Your spirit's connected with God. And that's how you're connected. Your spirit is identical to Jesus. That's almost blows your mind. I mean, God loves you like he loves Jesus. And the same thing that Jesus did, I can do. I'm going to show you tonight. Here's the first thing. Jesus is our example, right? So number one, Jesus is my example. He's our champion healer. In Luke 3:21-23, I'm just going to get through some of this so we can get going on all this, but he's getting baptized. Jesus was baptized, and while he prayed, the heaven was opened. The Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove. They heard the voice, you are my beloved son. In you I am well pleased. Now Jesus himself, listen to this, began his ministry at about 30 years of age. He hasn't done anything yet. He hasn't been walking around doing anything except he gets baptized and then he goes out into the wilderness. But that's when his ministry started. And God is already saying, I'm well pleased. So here's the thing. When we start talking about Jesus, you can put these two things together. Jesus and healing. All the four Gospels confirm it, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. They all confirm he went about healing all. We've got plenty of scripture, but it's what Jesus did. That was his MO. That's his mojo. He just came and the devil just left. I mean, he made him leave. But it's like he's not sticking around. Jesus isn't having any part of that. He's not, you know, this isn't let's make a deal. Jesus is the price is right. You know, he's like he paid the price. It's right. Now, at that point, he hadn't even paid that yet. But he is Emmanuel. He is God with us. He took his divinity and laid that and brought, you know, he came down and had to come in the form of a baby. And because he had to have authority, he had to come through and be a man, according to scripture, according to prophecy. I'm going to give you some scripture. Matthew 4:24. It says that his fame went throughout all Syria. They brought him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases, torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptics, paralytics. I'm a paralytic. No, you're not. And he healed them. Matthew 8:16 says, when the evening had come, they brought him many who were demon-possessed. He cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick. Matthew 12:15, Jesus knew it. He withdrew from there, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all. Mark 6:56, wherever he entered into villages, cities, or the country, they laid hands on the sick in the marketplaces, begged him that they might touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched him were made well. Luke 4:40, when the sun was setting, all those who had any that were sick and various diseases brought them to him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. Now, you got to understand, they're saying all and every one. It's not like, well, these three didn't. This, you know, 4 to 10 out. You know, it's like everyone. Everyone that came and needed a healing and went to Jesus got healed. Are you less? Jesus was known for healing. We live in a society today that, you know, it's almost get all you can, whatever you can get, you can it, and sit on your can. Keep it to yourself. Jesus was all about giving the gospel away, showing them that there's freedom where truth is and where the kingdom is. And most people don't gather for nothing. And the reason I ask about Catalyst and why I said this, we even had a few more come in, so that's good. But what I'm saying is it started where he just started healing. You know, it's got to start somewhere. And people are like, that person went and said, I got healed. Remember the man that went walking and leaping? They could say what they wanted, but here's the guy that for 38 years stayed at the Gate Beautiful, couldn't do anything, and now he's good. Nobody can say anything because now he's like, you can say whatever you want. I don't really understand it, but I know he came and here I am, ta-da. So people went because they knew he healed. That was a huge part of his ministry, and it's a huge part of his ministry today, and he uses you to do it. At least that's what he wants to do. Jesus didn't really, he talked about his father a lot. He didn't really say all the time, you know, he didn't talk about him being God in the flesh. He just talked about his father. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I say what the Father says. I do what the Father does. He didn't take credit for any supernatural sign. He always just said, this is the kingdom of God. This is God. This is the Father. When he got in his hometown, he says this in Luke 4:18-19, Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, sent me to heal the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year. And then from that moment on, Jesus gave all the credit, all signs, wonders, and miracles to his Father, God. My Father who lives in me does his work through me. That's John 14:10. What I'm saying is this. Just like you, you know, anybody that says we're supposed to be, and people have taken it are past this. Kim and I have been talking about this. There's people out there that they're saying they are basically Jesus. No. The power that we have is delegated authority and power. You need to understand this. This is, we are not Jesus. We never will be Jesus. We didn't come and die for everybody. We weren't the perfect sacrifice, and we by no means are perfect. And we're 2,000 years late to the ball, if that's the case. So understanding Jesus is giving credit to God. So you just need to understand God will use you, but understand who's doing the healing. Does that make sense? We just need to always understand that we serve God. And he is our Father. He has made provision for us. It is his wish that none perish. Jesus had God's spirit. He is God in the flesh. And he is doing these wonderful things. But he has yet to be risen. I'm going to get to that. Jesus makes that distinction and he talks about God. And here's why. Because there's going to be, where's Scott? I saw Scott. Scott's back there. His daughter, does she do relay races? And they hand the baton? See, this is what Jesus is getting ready to do. When he's talking to his disciples, he's about to do a transfer. He's about to hand the baton because he's telling them what's going to happen. He's been telling them. He's not secret about it. He's saying, I got to do this. Now, Peter's doing what Peter would do. I love Peter. Peter's like, oh, no, you'll not go there. And he's like, you know, Pete, I got to do this. Don't get in front of me. You know Jesus loved Peter. Because Peter did, he was just like, but he's about to say, I'm gonna go, I've got to die, but it's important that I do this, and then I got to go be with the Father. But I'm not going to leave you. I'm about to hand this off. And that's what he's getting everybody ready to do. He's getting ready to make this transfer. So here's what's happening. Here's the second point. Healing, Jesus, first one, he's our example. Second one, it works for the 12. Well, you want to say 11, Judas kind of got rid of himself. So, all right. It's not even a baker's dozen, not 13. Okay, 11. Still, good donuts in a batch, right there. There's 11. But he talks to them and he teaches them about the kingdom. Matthew 10:1, and when he had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits. Who gave them? He gave them. To cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. 10 of Matthew 7 and 8, you go preach saying this: the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. He wasted no time in showing the disciples, this is what I want you to do. I want you to do this. Watch me do this. I'm gonna let you do this. And that's how he did. Do you understand? He's like, watch me do it. Then he's with them. He's going to show them how to do it. He's going to be with them. And you know they're praying for people, and he's probably just like, you know, he might go to Susan and say, Susan, come, pray for this person. And so she would come, and she would pray for this person. Remember when Chad was here? And he prayed for somebody, God healed them. He said, come on. This is what he's doing. So Jesus is going to show them, and he's going to watch them do it, and pretty soon he's just going to send them, and he doesn't have to be there. You know what to do. Go do it. Luke 9:6 says, they departed and went through the towns preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. The TPT, whatever version that is, the total package, I don't know what version that is, but this is what it says. The apostles departed and he went into the villages with the wonderful news of God's kingdom, and they healed diseases wherever they went. Where there'd only been one person, Jesus, and the multitudes went after him, now Jesus is going, and now there's 12. And they're going places doing what he did. Isn't that amazing? Delegated authority. So they listened to his word, they obeyed, and the enemy bowed. But God had established a precedent, a pattern. His word states so many things. If God be for you, who can be against you? Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. There's so many things. You are the head, not the tail. Just before Jesus left in Matthew 9:35, Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness, every disease among the people, teaching, proclaiming, healing. Teaching, proclaiming, healing. Telling them about the kingdom, showing them that it's real, and let them watch it. Fruit following. Jesus was the bridge, you know that. God had to get things back from the enemy, and he needed Jesus to do that. 1 John 3:8, and he also, how many knows Jesus wants to destroy the works of the devil? Acts 10:38, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, and God was with him. So listen, this 12 now has a strategy in place. And that's the difference. And see, that's where the enemy trips you and me up, because we forget that there is a plan in place. There is a strategy. And we get so caught up in just our world of what is going on in us. But there's the Bible says he orders your steps, does it not? He is a lamp unto your feet, a light unto your path. If God be for you, who can be against you? I mean, what if we took the strategy? Preaching, proclaiming, healing. But that's just getting the ball rolling. He charged them in 9:37 and 38. The harvest is truly plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest, send laborers into his harvest. So here's number three. Jesus is our example. He sends out the 12. And now he knows there's a lot of work to be done. You know, we used to say, like, we had a church work day. If a lot of people show up, it's an easy work day because many hands make light work. You know, we have a lot of help. When we moved, man, this church was awesome. We had like 17 people or something like that. I mean, it was awesome. And there were some that wanted to come, but they weren't feeling well or whatever, and I get it. And, I mean, they were there in spirit. But it was, what I'm saying is, we had so many hands, it was great. But here's number three. Healing work for the 12. He goes on, he sends out 70. Now, some versions say 72. And so I studied that a little bit today. And it really comes down to like Greek and Hebrew, where there's some talk about 70, and one of the words could mean there were two more. 70 or 72 really doesn't matter. He sends out, let's say 70, just if you're having trouble with 72. I don't know that you are, but anyway, he sends out 70 or 72, depending on whatever version. And in Luke, in this, in the New King James, so I'm just going to say 70, it says, after these, the Lord appointed 70 others, sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. Strategy. Plan. Then he said to them, the harvest is truly great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers of his harvest. 10:9 of Luke says, heal the sick there and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. 10:16 of Luke, he who hears you hears me. He who rejects you rejects me. He who rejects me rejects him who sent me. Again, he's referring back to the Father God. So, more workers, 12, more than that, 70. They come back from their mission. How'd it go? Let's find out. They returned with joy, Luke 10:17, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to your name. So now God's plan back in that day has gone viral. That's Facebook right there. But this is the beginning of real examples of when, if there ever was going to be a Twitter, probably started here. Instagram, right there. Jesus, he sent 70 people. So all of this is working. Jesus had told them, anyone who accepts me or rejects me or you, they're doing it to me. Years ago, when I was first on staff, we went and we did every home crusade. And I was shocked, really. I mean, it's where you pick a part of town and you go and knock on the door and you invite people to church. It's cold calling, in essence. And we went in twos, which I think they thought we were another group. You think about that for a minute. But I saw, some people came to the door and listened to us. And our strategy was to not be long-winded, but just to say, hey, just wanted to, invite you to church and just let you know we care about you and da-da-da-da-da. Some people told us, got up on one porch and it was just like this, and the guy said, don't take another step. Get off my property. You're one of them Christian people. And I mean, that's one of the first times I was like, okay. I saw people literally hiding behind curtains. I mean, we're knocking on the door and I can see them. I don't think they think I can see them. We were at one house, and it was in the summer, and I'm looking, and there's a mirror. And the mirror is showing the person like this. I just want to mess with people then. But that was good. But basically what God is saying and what Jesus is telling, the Holy Spirit that's working in me, my Father in me, is going to work in you. If you believe that, if you're fully persuaded, you can preach and heal and get the same results I did. And Jesus goes on to say, you can even do better. Man, that's huge. The results were blowing up. But there's got to be pressure. The enemy is going to pressure you. Especially you get saved or God just turns something around or something, and then all of a sudden, make it stop. And he tries to pressure you. And he says things to you that it didn't happen. This isn't this or this isn't that. You think you have this. But Jesus is telling him there's going to be pressure. Because he's getting ready to leave. Now we're getting close to Easter. John 14:12, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. Now I'm telling you all this, and it's not rocket news to you, most of you know this, but Jesus is here, and he goes, and he's just, when he is on the earth, that's where he's at. So he can't be every place when he's in a human body. How many understand that? He did a lot of things in a human body, which shows you that you can do it. And he sends people out, and they were doing what he was doing. And he sends more out, and they were doing what he was doing. And so now the thing's just blowing up. But he says, I got to go. And here's why. Because he's about to pass the baton. Because now God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit now, will take the place and come and be the comforter and be the one that is the guider and shows you the mysteries and does all the things and can be in you, in me, and every place in this entire universe at the same time. That's really the viral message. You see, we always give that Last Supper where they're all sitting there and they're all talking and Jesus is saying, I'm going to be leaving. And, you know, the one who dips his bread in this. And I mean, you know, I don't know what that would have been like. They don't want him to go. I think they're trying to accept it. He's been true the whole time. I mean, I don't know. Where's he talking about? Where's he going? Is he going to go somewhere else and do this? And we're going to, you know, is this going to be a satellite church? I mean, what? I mean, I don't know what's all going through their mind. But I'm pretty sure if we look at Peter, this isn't the way he wanted it to go. How could they do more if he's gone? If he's not here to show us or to send us, how could he do more? Jesus said, I'm going to give you something that's going to give you peace. John 14, 16, and 17. He said, he'll give you my Father. I'll pray the Father. He'll give you another helper. He may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him. He dwells with you, and he will be in you. See, greater things come from the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit. So Jesus gives them some confidence. They see him leave. They've got some experience under their belt. And the church is birthed. The enemy tries to put it out, but he can't. He tries to snuff out most of the disciples, apostles. They got martyred. They got killed, most of them. The enemy can't stop it. Here's our fourth one. And this is, you know, we don't have much, and then we're going to stop, and we're going to pray. Jesus is our example. Works for the 12. Works for the 70. Here's number four. Works for you. Works for you. We try to, we're guilty of saying stuff like this. I'll do this when I get right, then I'll believe it. Can I tell you, and there's people in this room that know this is true, we ain't ever going to be all right. I mean, we're human. No, that's probably even wrong for me to say it that way. I'm just saying, if you wait till you're complete, till everything's right, till you think it's right, you're left. I mean, you might not think you're right, and Jesus and God are saying you're completely right because of the blood that's in you, that is Jesus. Now, I'm not saying that's liberty to sin. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about sometimes we perish because of lack of knowledge. If the enemy can keep you stopped and stymied because you're just waiting till, I just want to wait. You know, if I waited every time till I felt like it, get anything done. There's been so many times that God has done things and I feel like I've been out on a limb and I'm like, I'm not saying that. And he's like, yeah. I'm like, no. And so do I have to say it? No, because I have my own free will. I don't have to say it. He said, I want you to call this out. But I'm like, Lord, and this is me thinking as I'm up here speaking, not now, but before. If I call it out, what if they don't come up? He said, so what? Doesn't mean they're not there. Just means they might not come up. I'm like, yeah, but wouldn't it be better if they come up and we could all have a happy time? That'd be good. Then I wouldn't look stupid and people wouldn't think I didn't know what I was talking about. And he's just quiet. Because this isn't about me. He's trying to get to somebody to get the healing they need to receive. And so sometimes I've called things that I'm just like, oh, that's not. But it was right. There'd be somebody there that had that, just like Susan had the skin rash. And I say that past tense, had. But they'd come up, and I'd see it happen in front of people, in front of my eyes. And people said, well, what if it didn't happen? If I have to see it happen, to me, it's already happened. There's times I've prayed for people. Well, matter of fact, I just prayed for Glenn. And God healed Glenn, prayed for his eye. And when I took my hand off his eye, I wanted to see it completely cleared. It wasn't. But in my mind and in my reception, Father, I thank you. I don't have to see that. His eye's healed. He texted Kim and I back and said, praise God. I went and looked in the mirror. You can go ask him the story. I don't know the whole story, but he's sitting right over there. He's the big cowboy in the corner. Well, Pilgrim, God healed my eye, I mean, you know, so this is just about doing the kingdom. It's about doing the kingdom. I'd pray for my kids and God would heal them. Kim would pray for the kids and God would heal them. And when our faith was off track, the Holy Spirit in us would set us on the right track. There's times that, you know, she would ask, why didn't this happen? And he would tell her one time, he told her, he said, stop hindering me. And she's like, how am I doing that? Because she had talked to somebody and somebody had said something and she got in agreement with what they had said. And the Holy Spirit brought it back. This is what he does with me. In my mind, it's like a movie. And he'll rewind it and show me something where I'm like, idiot. And then I'll break that. I'll say that right or whatever. But he showed her like where she got in agreement with. So this is all she did. This is all she did. Can I say, this is all she did? She said, I break that. God, I get in agreement with your word. I'm not in agreement with that. She went back in, put her hands to it, and the fever left, and the kid was healed. Just like that. Why? All power has been given to Jesus, and he said, now I'm going to give it to you. Man, when do we get a hold of this? When do we start believing God and taking him at his word? If it worked for Jesus, and it worked for the 12, and it worked for the 70, or 72, depending on your version, it'll work for you. Healing, you don't have. Sometimes we just get a bad opinion. Well, it won't. He'll do it for Brett. Yes, he'll do it for me, but he'll do it for you. You know why he does it for me? Because I believe he'll do it. That's the difference. It's not because I'm anybody. I'm just like you. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. I put my pants on one leg at a time. I get bad breath. I get BO. Just like you. So I'm not special. But in God's eyes, we are, because we're his kids. You know, I mean, every mother in here, you got kids, you don't mess with their kids. Because she could be nice until you mess with their kids. Then, oh, never mind. We used to come, when we were naming our kids, we were trying, you know, we had the baby name book. Yeah, I don't know if you know. You know, we were looking, because names mean something. You know, a neighbor across the street, he goes, this dog is crazy. He's just crazy. All he does is run crazy. And he was like, I'm sorry. He keeps running over to your yard. He's crazy. I'm like, well, what's his name? Chaos. True story. I'm like, what? I mean, oh, okay. Well, maybe name him something else. I don't know. But just, it's good to have a good name. The Spirit, 1 Corinthians 12:6-7, I'm going to touch on this and then I'm going to be done. There's diversities of activities, but the same God who works in all, but the manifestation of the Spirit given to each one for profit of us all. By now, everyone Jesus called and ordained in his ministry was set against sickness and disease. In other words, think about all these 12, all these 70. Here's what you're going to do. You're going to heal the sick. You're going to cast out devils. Any kind of sickness, disease, you're going to be able to heal it. You're going to go around. This is what you're going to do. He's given them the mandate. And see, here's the thing. When I'm saying we can do that too, we think, well, sure, he told the 12. He told the 70. He's telling you and me that too. It's in the scripture. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. What do people, if you're sick, what do they want? You could say, hey, would you like some chicken noodle soup? No. What if you could say, if I laid hands on you, God would heal you? There's some people that would say, no. And there's people that I tried to pray for not long ago, and I asked like 4 times, and the guy's basically like, don't touch me. I'm like, okay. But I wanted to say this, I don't really have to touch you. I mean, he laid hands on the sick and they recovered, but you know what? I've seen things where I've just spoke the word and it was God's word and God healed them. I never came close to them. I was in a service and it was a healing service and they brought up a cell phone. And this lady is in ICU. I don't know who she is, never met her. And they said, this is a lady, she was, you ever had somebody that had so much twang? Brother Brett. Anyway, she handed me the phone and told me the lady's name. Would you pray for her over the phone? So the lady's voice was very faint and very, not real strong. She's in ICU. So she's, I guess, hooked up to stuff in ICU. And I just prayed, now listen, as the Spirit led me, I don't know what's going on. So I just did what I felt the Lord tell me to do, and that's what I prayed for. That's some of the very things I prayed for was the very things that was going on. I would not know that. They just said, she's in ICU, would you pray? And the next thing, all I hear is screaming on the phone. I'm like, I killed her. Or what? Maybe she's on the ground and the nurse is like, she's dead. I mean, I don't know. But here, she had pulled her things out and was running around the ER room. I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm healed. And she went home. My understanding was, I got the pastor, this has been a long time ago, but I mean, she got healed. I never laid my hands on her. I just proclaimed the word of God in her life. God, heal her body, touch her from the top of her head, the soles of her feet. Father, in the name of Jesus, every infirmity that's in her body, you die in Jesus' name. And God, that your power would come in. And next thing I know is, wow! She's healed. But I'll tell you what's that doing in a service? People are like, whew. In that service, God healed a guy's ear. Had a grenade go off. He was in the war. He had never been able to hear for years. He came up, couldn't hear. God restored. I don't know how he did it. I don't know if he put a new eardrum. I don't know what he did. But he could hear out of his ear. His wife was just crying. He is weeping. And the whole church was. Let me just tell you. That's why people follow Jesus. Because fruit follows Jesus. So it's real important that you understand when fruit follows you, it's because Jesus in you. You need to know that. When those things happen, people just pew, 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 pew. Next thing you know, there was nobody in line, and now there's like 30 people standing up front. Pray for me, pray for me, pray for me. Why? Because Jesus showed up. But I got news for you. He was already there. He'd been there the whole time. But Jesus, we just read a scripture. The world doesn't see that. So he shows himself through the Father, the Spirit, in healing. It's his will that you are well. You know that? If you know it's God's will that you are well and that God wants to use you to proclaim the kingdom of God has come near you, man, that's pretty good. I looked this up. Anybody that Jesus set out was set against sickness and disease. We agree there? So that was kind of his brand. You know what brand is? Branding is if I showed you Golden Arches, everybody knows it's McDonald's. It's branded. We've known it for years. You can go to a McDonald's in Canada, and a Big Mac will taste just like one that you got here in Marion. It should. It's supposed to. Some of you, no, it doesn't. Definition of branding. The promoting of a product or service by identifying it with a particular brand. Jesus, I mean, everything he touched, walked, leaped, got up. If it was dead, it's alive, multiplied. I mean, stopped. If it was going crazy, wouldn't you love to have that if you have a toddler? Peace, be still. But, you know, Kim and I, we've done stuff like that. People think, you're nuts. I'm not nuts. I'm on a mission. We've went out. I've prayed for storms, and they've stopped. I prayed for wind to cease. It stopped. I prayed for tornadoes to go somewhere and go across, go out to the ocean and dissipate. I don't know where they went, but they left us. You can say whatever you want, but I've seen too much. Mark 16, 15 through 18. I won't read it all, but it's go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Go into all the world. He has ordained you and me to be his kids to do the work of the kingdom. If you're saved, he intends for healing to accompany you. You know, I believe my sister sitting back there, I believe her grandkids and her kids and her husband, he's back there. If they're together and somebody needs, they'll say something to each other. They'll say, hey, would you pray for me? Why would they say that? Because when they pray, things start happening. Are you getting this? I mean, my kids would come and say, Dad, I need you to pray for this. My granddaughter stubbed her toe. They just came and spent the night last week, stubbed her toe, and she was crying, and she's just tiny. And Kim says, Pops, will you come and pray for her? I said, you want Pops to pray for you? And she said, yes. She was crying. And I said, Ari, you look at me. She looked, and I said, you know Jesus is going to heal this, and that pain's going to stop. She just looked at me, and I said, do you believe that? So I grabbed a hold of her toe. Well, gently. How's that feel? How's that feel, kid? Wrong foot? Now, how's that feel? No. Sorry, I'm just being ornery. But I prayed for her, and, you know, then she just kept crying, but she was making herself cry. And she was just, you know, and so I went over and sat down and talked to her for a minute, and I talked to her, and then she started giggling. I said, doesn't hurt anymore, does it? And so Grandma got a Band-Aid, or Aunt Me, somebody got a Aunt Me is Maddie. Well, they call her Aunt Maddie. Arrow calls her Aunt Me. Okay. But anyway, somehow a Band-Aid appeared, and she was completely fine from that moment on. You might say, well, probably wasn't very bad. No, it wasn't. But what I'm telling you is I'm setting a precedence. You got to understand, there is just, I want to be as much like Jesus as I can. I want to be able to send out my kids and my grandkids to their friends and to their friends and to their friends and to their, you know, because you are ordained by God to heal people by the power of God in you. You're not healing them. God's healing them. But he's using you to do it. You can draw on the anointing. Jesus intends that for every believer. I'm just trying to cut all this down. Okay, I do need to read this. 1 Corinthians 12, it's according to the power, this is of the Holy Spirit, that works in us. I thought I put that somewhere else, but anyway, sometimes we don't grab that part of it. Ephesians 3:20. Here, let me see if I can look that up real quick. And There we go. Now, to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. What we do a lot of times in church, we get that first part. He will go abundantly above all that we ask or think. I don't know about you, but we can ask and think a lot. If you have a kid and they give you a Christmas list, my grandson's keeps growing. You get that for me for Christmas, okay? He's got this, I mean, it's a list, Justin will tell you, it's like huge. But we can ask and think a lot, but we gotta remember that second part of that. According to the power that works in us. So what's that saying is that God in you is what is working when you speak. Remember, faith is voice activated. Some lights are just coming on here a little bit. Like, oh, yeah, because we have activated that. We are calling those things out, those pains out, those things out. Why? By his stripes, 1 Peter 2:24, I was healed. I am healed. I were healed. However you want to put it, go away. I'm healed. Shazam. And just begin to believe that God has already done it. You know, usually when I pray for somebody, I'll say, what can't you do? And they'll say, well, I'm going to pray for one. This was really funny. It was in here. I think Kim remembers. What's that? She said, I can't move my arm. I want to move my arm up here, but I... And she could move it. And I said, praise God. Go back and sit down. She's healed. What I'm saying is, we have what God gave us. We just don't think he'll use us. But he will. If you will have the confidence to know that you are his vessel. Here's my last thing, and then anybody needs prayer, we're going to pray for. You see, this is what we think, and the world tells us that. You got to be gold. You got to be silver. No. I mean, that's great if you're a gold vessel or silver vessel. It's even great if you're a bronze vessel. But what if you were just a yielded vessel? What if you're just one that, I just want to do what you want. I don't have to be up front. I don't have to be anything. Whatever you want me to do, that's what I'll do. If you are a true servant, man, that's what he's looking for. And that's, he'll just use people that will, people will thought, I never thought he'd use them. That's why he'll use us. Us. You might think, I'm nobody. I still have this. I still have this habit. You know what? You stay before the Lord. It's not like you have to wait till everything's right and he'll go, okay, now I'll use you. Now, there may be some things that he was like, okay, you're not ready for that, but you're ready for this. And you just step out in faith. I had no idea who had the rash. I hadn't talked to her. She never told me in connection she had a rash. But the Lord knows. So let's bow our heads. Father, I thank you that you are our healer. You sent out the 12. You are our example. You sent out the 70.